of a freshly painted colonial house with knockout roses climbing its white porch railings and fence. I balanced my phone and tray of coffees and pen and pad and headed for the door. Stephen would take the dogs for a run in a nearby park and then swing by to pick me up once I'd sent him a text. I knocked and waited, knocked and waited. The coffee was cooling. I went to a door alongside the driveway that might have been the kitchen, knocked and waited. No answer. Stephen was beckoning me back to the car at this point. But the garden in back looked intriguing. From where I was standing, I could see a potting table with rows of neatly labeled clay pots with fresh sprouts, and beyond it, thick grapevines twining over an arbor, a spreading Japanese maple. I stepped in farther. There were neat garden beds planted with rows of tomatoes and peppers, arborvitae lining the other side of the yard, explosions of flowers and vines, and an open cellar door against the house. I went toward it, ready to call down, and I realized at the other end of the yard, down toward the garage, was a faded green chair, and in it, a big, craggy white head facing the other way. Larry Miller? He unfolded from the chair like a long wooden yardstick. There appeared to be a lot of him. He was blinking and bewildered as I rapid-fired my prepared speech and offered to vacate the premises immediately. But as soon as he recovered from his surprise and had ascertained that A, I was sane, and B, had transportation and would be leaving soon, he offered me a chair, and we fell into a remarkably warm and relaxed conversation. It turned out I wasn't the first intrepid fan to find her way to Larry's door. In fact, it was a fairly regular occurrence. His legacy still loomed large in the memory of Tar Heel faithful, not to mention Lehigh Valley fans and ABA cult followers. We talked about our shared history as a childhood fan and college player back in the late 60s, and about certain thrilling games, and Coach Smith, but other things as well, about what it's like to come back to the place where you grew up after nearly a lifetime away, and how the air there feels just right on your skin. About that Dorothy and Oz moment of, there's no place like home. We talked about the mail he had received over the years from fans, particularly the kids who wrote while he was at Carolina, and how he had loved those letters, and the stories he'd collected while playing with the Heels and later in the ABA. We talked about storytelling in general. I told him he should think about telling his. As he walked me out to the car, I remarked on how beautiful his garden was. He told me it had been nothing but hardscrabble when he bought the house 8 years before. I said he must have a gift for gardening. Nah, he looked around, satisfied nonetheless. Just good soil. Larry Miller had nothing but happy memories of his time at Carolina, and fond feelings for the people who'd been so generous to him during his time there. But I couldn't help thinking how fortunate he was to have come back to this town, to these familiar sidewalks, to the friends he'd played knee-high baseball with, the place that made him, where he grew up and was nurtured, his good soil. He seemed to be a happy man, at peace with his past and in love with his present. But I still wanted him to think about telling those stories.
Preface. I'm idling in my SUV with two dogs in the back, double parked in front of a beautifully kept house, on a quiet side street in a forgotten town in the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania, waiting for my wife to be arrested for trespassing. I somewhat deserve this for marrying a North Carolina girl. With such a love of UNC basketball, that she can still recite the entire 1968 Tar Heel roster she memorized as a 10-year-old. She is sentimental about Coach Dean Smith and the voice of announcer Woody Durham, but I long ago realized that the only name that really matters